Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station with the only man who knows everybody, Sean Gutierrez.
Hey, everybody. Welcome again to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Senior Vice President John Gutierrez. And with us today, we have another amazing community leader. This gentleman's become like a brother to me in the last couple months here. And we want to welcome today, of course, Moses Heredia, who's the founder and CEO of Global Processing Systems, which is a payment industry. He's a payment industry expert, speaker, and author, and also an industry leader. You will see his books here. His book here, of course, Fields to Fortune, that we're going to talk about here shortly in a minute. We encourage everybody to go out and get it, of course, because it's very inspiring. We're going to talk about his life and how he got to this point. Welcome, Moses, to the show.
Thank you, my brother. It's a pleasure to have me here, man. It's an honor. Thank you, John. I appreciate that, man. It's awesome.
Yes, and you guys don't see this, but there's a whole crew behind this. We got four individuals over here, cameras, you name it. And I think it's beautiful to see how you're at this high level of just everything you do as a businessman. And what would you say that attributes to, man?
You know, it all boils down back to my upbringing, and I didn't really realize that, John, until I started, looking at old pictures when I grew up and when I was a baby going back, and I was seeing some pictures, man, that tripped me out, and I was like, wow, look at me as a toddler and also as in elementary school when I was even in kindergarten. Three-piece suits, and my mom always had me groomed and well-dressed, and of course, one of those motivators for her was to kick me out and go to church.
Three-piece suits, huh?
Yeah, three-piece suits, man. I still have that. And you know, it stuck with me, and I love it, man. I thank that, and I give it all back to my mother.
Tell us a little bit about that, if you don't mind sharing with the audience, of course. Tell us a little bit about just your upbringing, where you grew up, and share with us your story, of course, of your family.
Sure, absolutely. Actually, my mom was born in Chihuahua, Mexico, and so I'm a son of an immigrant. And the book here is a Amazon bestseller, and it's also on Amazon and also on Barnes & Noble online. So I'll take you back a little bit. My mom was very poor, didn't have no college education, no even high school, elementary. She never went to school one day in her life. So she was pushed out by my grandparents to go out there and hustle and start selling fruits and vegetables to the farmers. So, you know, she, at 17, she opened up a little restaurant and she became an entrepreneur. Came over across the border, met my father. When she owned the restaurant, they came over legally, of course, and then they started a life, and that's where I was born and raised, in Hobbs, New Mexico. Very humble beginnings. So myself, I actually worked on the crops myself. I worked on the cucumbers, the peanuts, the cotton fields, the cucumber.
What was that like? I mean,
oh my gosh.
How old were you when you started?
My playground, John, was the fields. So my mom never had a babysitter for me. So to give you an idea, every morning, I thought it was nighttime, but it was really like 4 or 5 in the morning, she would wrap me up like a little burrito and put me underneath the floor mat of the pickup truck so the heat would just go down and keep me warm. And I remember her in Spanish saying, cierra los ojos, you know, and that means, you know, pretty much translated, shut your eyes, you know, go to bed.
Yeah.
So I started as a young toddler going to the field. So when I was able to understand and I wanted the Nikes and the Nintendos and all that, she's like, okay, andale, ponte a trabajar. That means, you know, get out there and after it and hustle. So I started working in the fields. I can remember at 5 years old knocking on farmers' doors so we can get their business. And what that would do is we would go farm to farm and get the contractors to work for my mother, and that's what she had. And we would knock on these farmers' doors, John, and ask them, hey, do you need any hands? Do you need any crops to harvest? Do you need anything? And they're like, oh, yes, of course. I have a whole bunch of crops. I need people, laborers. So that's where we came in. So I would translate. At 5 years old, I remember knocking on doors and translating for my mother because she didn't speak English. So that's where we were hustling, just cold calling, man.
So you were already building those communication skills.
Absolutely.
At a young age.
And I owe it all to my mother because she taught me never to fear, you know. Yeah. Never be afraid to ask for the business. The worst they can say is no. And as I learned, and she would push me to church, I'm like, man, fear in the Bible to be afraid is on there like 365 times, right? And it just was instilled in me. And to this day, man, I mean, my personal friends who are my doctors, my attorneys, my dentists, my car wash guy, my cleaners, all of those are my clients. They're my business. Because I do business with them, they do business with me, and I'll take you down how I got to where I'm at today. But growing up, getting back on the field, I could tell you a quick story and shine a little overview of the cucumbers, how hard that was. So the cucumbers, you would get 5-gallon buckets, and they would give you two. And you would be a hunchback and putting the cucumbers, and obviously they would get heavy throughout the day. You have to run to the truck, and it's a big old diesel, John, and the truck is actually moving at a slow pace, so it doesn't stop. So you have to hustle there and then hustle back to where you left off because you can't leave any crops untouched, right? Mm-hmm. The funny thing is I didn't realize this till I'm older now. It's like I was on commission only because they would give you a token and put it in your 5-gallon bucket. That token was 25 cents. So you would get 25 cents per token, and you can see how long the days were, especially in the summers, and how hot it was, and people would just quit and give out. But that was one of the most crucial moments that I remember. And that time when I was doing that, when I was 12 and 13 years old.
My father actually grew up as a bracero, and he would share a lot of the stories when he first came as a bracero. We never got to experience that, but he would share a lot of those stories with me. And it's interesting that you mentioned the whole how mom wrapped you as a burrito and kept you warm. My dad, they used to warm up their food on the hoods of the trucks at lunchtime. That was their microwave because the burritos were cold, wrapped around. They turn on the truck. And the hood got warm, and they put the burritos on top, and that's how they warmed up their food. So when you mentioned how your mom used to wrap you as a burrito, it just took me back to my dad. Tell me, you know, as a child growing up, did you ever envision you'd be where you are today? What do you think started getting your mindset as far as like, hey, I want to do this in my life when I grow older because of this reason. I want better. I want a better life. I want to be successful. I want to have a whole entourage with me because I'm going to be, you know, killing it and making good money. Where do you feel maybe at 14, 15 years of old, you know, I got a 14-year-old and we start thinking about what is it that we want to do with our lives. Where do you think that was for you?
Yeah, John, good question. For me, it was really just been faith-driven. So my mom really instilled that, and I've always had the 4 G's, man, and I patent that. And it's, you know, God, goals, grind, and make a global impact on people, right? So I really, really came from humble beginnings when I left my mother at the age of 17 and I moved out here to California with just a backpack. So I had $60 in my pocket and a backpack, and I was still in high school, so I came out here to finish high school and continue a college degree or something, right? But I never did go to college. I was too poor to afford college. So I started doing what I'm doing today in the merchant services. And I've been very blessed. But looking back, like your question is like, hey, when did you think you're going to be where you're at today? No, absolutely not. Now, I mean, some of our clients, to give you an idea, are like Pollo Loco, KFCs, Toyota. So we have the big names. But at the end of the day, we cater to the small mom and pop businesses. That's where our bread and butter is, and we like to serve. And we're more of a community. I mean, we have accounts throughout the country. It's not just California. But for us, looking back, I never really just thought of that, John. I still live like I'm poor every day, man. Like, okay, every day I go to work. Every day I'm in the office. Every day I'm inspiring. Every day I'm blessed. Every day I talk about God. Every day it's like, hey, I'm pushing forward. He gave me this ability, and we give so much back to orphanages, to different countries, to our homeless people here. So we do a lot for the community already, and I continue to do that because God has blessed me, so I give that back, man. It's just keep pushing it back, and I inspire a lot of people. One of the things before I started my company, I worked for the second largest processor in the world, and it was National Processing Company. And I was the only Latino there, and the corporate office was Louisville, Kentucky. And what we did is I opened the floodgates to give people without a degree an opportunity, because if you had to come and work for our company at that time, you had to have some type of a degree. So I earned my way from minimum wage at $4.25 all the way to sales. I went to account executive, and then I went to territory manager, then I went to district manager, then to regional manager, then to vice president. That's 10 years there. So after 10 years, I decided to open my own organization. We've been in business over 23 years now and very blessed in moving forward. So we've hired tremendously people nationwide. We have employees in the office, in our corporate office, probably about 50. But outside sales agents, John, to give you an idea, we have over 110 sales agents throughout the country. And we continue to hire, we continue to grow. So we're always looking for people like myself that don't have, it doesn't matter the color of your skin, the color, if you're born with wealth, or where do you come from? It doesn't matter your politics. It doesn't matter who you are. At the end of the day, is if you got the grind and the grit and the drive, we'll definitely train the unproven to get there and get successful and be successful.
Would you say during that journey you had a mentor or certain mentors that you can look back? For those of our viewers or listeners that are part of, like, let's say our youth chamber, you know, we're always mentoring them. Who do you feel was that for you, that mentor?
Sorry, man. That was my mother. My mother passed in 2004, and she taught me everything I know to this day. And she was my everything. She was my rock. So she passed unexpectedly, right? So throughout my life until then, to this day, she's still my mentor, because everything I do in life, she is the one that taught me everything. I never went to business school. I never got taught by anyone else. I never had another mentor. So to give you an idea, it's God first, and then my mother has been my mentors, man. And I catch myself saying things, and I catch myself negotiating the way she did, because every meeting, like I said, I didn't have a babysitter, John, so every meeting mm-hmm. and everywhere she would go, I would be right next to her. So
yeah.
So that I can tell you that hands-on, we learn from the people we're around with. And I tell this to all my staff and all my friends, like, hey, surround yourself by good people, you'll become one. If you surround yourself by five bad people, you're going to be one of those, whether it's a drug addict, a troublemaker, whatever it is. So to be successful, hang around successful people.
It's interesting you say that, because my father, at a young age, taught us a very old Mexican saying or Hispanic saying, which says, you know, dime con quien te juntas y te diré quién eres, which means tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. And to this day, I've told my kids and I've told friends when I go speak at the universities that my father, a lot of times, didn't tell me what I was doing wrong. He was telling me what my friends were doing wrong. Yes. He was like, hey, I saw so-and-so over there doing this, and I saw so-and-so. And then it kept me from not wanting to go spend time with those people, because I was like, my dad's watching them, right? And as 100%. A kid, you're like, you don't want your parents to know what you're doing, right? Because you don't want to be getting in trouble. So then, but it helped me stay away from those bad kids. And so, to your point, that's so important, right? Who we surround ourselves with, it plays a huge role in our lives, wouldn't you say?
A huge role. Listen, if you go out and hang out at the bars every week or every day or every weekend, you're going to hang around drunks, right? You go to church, you're going to hang around motivated people who follow the word. So at the end of the day, listen, I'm not perfect. I never say I'm perfect. I slip. I mean, you know, we're all sinners. There's no one that's perfect, you know, mm-hmm. at the end of the day. But one of the things that I strive is to be better every day, 1% better every day. You know, I tell my staff and I tell everyone, like, listen, at the end of the day, 77% is really never giving up. You know, 22% is relationships. Mm-hmm. And then you fall on luck on the rest to make 100, man. So,
yeah,
you know, so never giving up on your goals and your dreams and achieving them. I mean, if I could have gave up a lot of times. To give you an idea, when I moved to California, John, I couldn't go back home, right? So I was alone. So at the end of the day is I had no electricity. You know, I had no gas, so I had to take cold showers in the morning. My trash piled up because I couldn't afford the trash man to come pick it up. So, listen, I was very poor. I had to take a bike to go see my customers. When I was selling credit card machines, man, I would take a bike. So wow. I started in this business at 18. But, you know, God helped me, and obviously I never gave up. So that's really where the grind comes in, and the discipline and the dedication. So people need to just never give up. People give up when it's really hard. Mm. And that's the problem. When it gets hard, that's when they stop. I mean, if you really think of all the great winners out there, like the Michael Jordans, right? You look at all of these, Oprah Winfrey, right? She got told no so many times. Michael mm-hmm. Jordan got kicked out of a sophomore when he was about in basketball high school, right? So, and I mean, Tiger Woods, all of these guys, right? One key ingredient that we lack, or a lot of people lack, is the never giving up. 77%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to make sure, again, for those of you viewing us, you know, at the moment, you know, go out and get this amazing book that tells his story, his life. Obviously, a lot about how you didn't give up, your upbringing, right? Your mother, who obviously is a blessing to you, was your mentor, right? Has always been in your heart. You know, what else could people find in this book that you can share with our audience that you think they're going to benefit from reading this book? What would you share?
You know, there's a lot of trials and errors in there. They'll learn that, you know, to give an idea, what it'll be a blueprint of my success story to where I got today, coming from nothing, started from, like I said or mentioned earlier, just riding a bike to my clients, starting at $4.25 an hour. But one of the things, John, is I never gave up. So the book really preaches on
would you say resilience, right?
1,000% resilience. Right? Mm-hmm. It also talks about, there's some scriptures in there. Mm-hmm. It talks about staying motivated, being motivated. It talks about the goals, the God, grind, make a global impact. So it talks about a lot of different avenues that people mm-hmm. take in life. Because, listen, in the book, too, it tells you where I would go home to my parents and I would do my algebra and I was drinking, you know. So it talks about, listen, it's not all, it's a true story. It's based on a true story, how I was going in the wrong path. But I was able to get out of it in a way where a lot of us need to make that decision, and some of us don't make it fast enough. But thank God that I was able to have that presence to go ahead and make that switch. So the book talks about and covers a lot of blueprint to get successful.
In essence, I guess you could look at it as a special recipe, right, that we're sharing with the world of how you were able to get to this level in your life, right?
Absolutely.
It's a recipe that, you know, for any of you that are looking to venture into something new in your life, I would say this is inspiring, man. I mean, I think it's great that you know, you've gone ahead and opened up. Not everybody wants to do that today, right?
Sure.
Not everybody wants to open up and share the challenges, the struggles, you know? What is the goal? What is next for you? Where is it do you want to be as far as, you know, the next steps in your journey as you go along? Because obviously, you're doing great, but what is the next step for you?
You know, at the end of the day, right now, John, I'm also a delegate, right? So I'm involved a lot in politics. If you were to ask me when I was probably 10, 12 years ago, get into politics, I said, no, I throw a book at you, man. But, you know, we need to make we need to take care of our future, our kids, you know. So I'm involved a lot with the children. Right now I'm in talks with the superintendent of California, future, I should say. So I'm really focused on that, focused on new elections with the governor, where mm-hmm. we're going with that. So the future for me as a company, we're continuing hiring. Well, actually, we just hired several people at the beginning of the year, and we're still looking for a lot of good pedigree out there. And if you have the key ingredients, the book is selling. We're doing a lot of speaking. We actually have an event this Thursday, actually, where I'll be on stage and introducing a couple of politicians and talking about the book a little bit. So I'm booked for some podcasting right now. We're doing also getting booked for a Univision, because we're actually translating the book in Spanish as well. And expanding that horizon to the South in America, since that's where, you know, initially where my mom was born and raised in down south in Mexico. So there's a lot of things moving, a lot of moving parts. And what's next is, listen, whatever, if God puts it in my hands and opens outdoors, I'm going to go through it, man. If they're not open, then I'll find a way around it, right? At the end of the day, we just need to stay productive and stay positive and stay, you know, proactive.
So, again, for those of you viewing us, if any of you are interested in also coming to work for you, right?
Absolutely.
They're always growing and looking to bring on some new individuals. What would you say is a requirement or that you would like to see in people? Obviously, you mentioned that grit, right? That hard work. I guess training-wise, what would you expect, or what is it that you all would do with them? What would mm-hmm. you suggest?
You know, everyone I've hired, and if you look at the people who came with me, I've told them three things. Even when my staff and my management, we all look at the same thing as, like, don't lie, cheat, or steal. Mm-hmm. We'll train the unproven. Mm-hmm. If you have the guts, and all of them know that because that's what I keep saying and I preach that. If you have the ability and you want to, and you have the withal to be taught, you know, leave the old habits at home and bring new habits into work, and we're going to teach you new things, new traits, new habits, new skills. Yes, but we train from A to Z on all of the new employees that come on board.
one of the things I want to make sure we point out is, you know, first and foremost, we want to congratulate, of course, Moses, his team, and Global Processing Systems for joining our chamber, because I know they're also going to be sponsoring and supporting our Estrella Awards Gala that, of course, is April 11th. So thank you for that. We welcome you guys to our familia, our business familia. Share with everybody that's listening, of course, how you shared with me how, you know, it's so important that through your system and through your business, you're able to help, you know, the businesses and small businesses with what your services can offer. Can you share a little bit about
that? Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people don't know the mechanics behind it and how robust it is and how it works, John. But it's very simple, and I'm going to break it down a little bit. So just think of this. Just think of the Wells Fargos of the world, the Bank Americas, and the Chase Banks, right? We're just like them. One of the things that separates us from them is we're laser-focused on credit card processing, anything that's electronic processing. So what we focus is that where the banks focus on your checking account, your CD, your mortgage loan or car loan, we're laser focused because we're registered through the card brands. Who's the card brands? It's Visa, MasterCard, American Express, all those guys. So we actually cut all the red tape. You go and talk to the decision maker who can lower those rates for you. So in essence, let's say you have a business out there and you want to say, okay, do a proposal. We'll do a proposal and show you how much the savings are. Another thing that the banks don't do that we do is called cash discount. You know, there's a way you can pass that fee on so you pay zero processing on your credit card cards that you're taking at your business. It doesn't matter what type of business. It could be a restaurant. It could be a tire shop. Any form of business that you have and you take cards, we can help you.
And, you know, for those of you watching or viewing us, of course, on behalf of our Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, a lot of businesses that view us, you know, feel free to leave a comment, you know, send us a message if you're viewing us on any type of social media. We'll connect you to his team. We'll connect you to Moses. I'm not quite sure if it's okay to announce also if they wanted you to do like some sort of speaking engagement.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know.
Yes.
If that's okay, if somebody wants you to. I know we have a lot of nonprofits that are part of us, a lot of great mentorship programs.
Yep.
You know, they can reach out to your team, of course, right?
Absolutely.
And have you come out and speak and speak about the book and your journey. Is that something?
You know, John, it's good that you mentioned that. I remember we actually had a speaking engagement that I did, and there was well over 400 real estate agents there. And I did it for free. And what I mean by that is I told them, you know, get that donation you would pay a speaker and give it to an orphanage, give it to a church, give it to someone else. You know, God put me in this position so that way I can spread the word and not necessarily for income. I don't do it for the money. I do it more for passing the word, making sure that people understand that there's more out there. Like I mentioned earlier, man, listen, it doesn't matter if you're educated, the color of your skin, or where do you come from. Like, we all have the pedigree and we all have the ability to become somebody or someone. I come from nothing, okay? What I mean by that is I didn't have no degree. I was born and raised working in the farm fields, man. So listen, if I can do it, anyone can do it. And we actually have the key ingredients in the training system that we can help people become better and achieve some dreams. I mean, we have so many success stories. And in my office, John, that come from nothing. We have individuals that didn't have two nickels to rub together. Now they own multiple homes. They got married. Now they're investors because now they're renting one of their homes and they live in the other one. And we have people that don't even have a college education or a high school diploma, to give you an idea. And they're making more than some of my friends who are attorneys and doctors. I mean, these guys are killing it out there. Let me explain real quick. In a short version is, the way we make money in the credit card world, guys, is every transaction that passes, there's a percentage that goes to that salesperson. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what type of card it is, whether it's a Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, whatever.
It's residual income.
It's residual. Now, that's how you make money when you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are saying, well, how does this work? Well, you know what? Well, I'm here talking to you. There's a bunch of credit cards being swiped on gas stations, restaurants, whatever the case may be. And there's money being processed. So that's called residual revenue stream.
Oh, okay. I like that. I know I had heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know to what extent it went as far as generating an income or right. And I think it's important that, you know, as we listen, of course, to our young generations that are like looking for jobs and opportunities and new doors to open, a lot of them are fearful, right? Of like stepping into something of the unknown, right?
Absolutely.
But I think it's great that you're sharing that, you know, by the way, we train them, we teach them, we guide them, right? Because obviously that's important to you, right?
Yes.
That they know what they're doing.
Yes, absolutely. I was out to dinner with some of my colleagues from the office, and there was a server, and I liked the way he was performing. Mm-hmm. He dropped the ball on one thing, but I'm like, he redeemed himself by going the extra mile. And I was like, I would like that guy to work for us. I mean, look at his personality, look at his traits, look how he's working. And before the dinner was over, I asked him, hey, listen, do you do this? He goes, man, no, I'm looking for a job. I just had a baby who's 6 months old, and this is really just, you know, I'm doing this just to put the Pampers on you at the moment. I'm like, hey, listen, here's my number, here's my card, here's what I do. He goes, oh, I've heard about you guys. I've heard about this credit card processing stuff. When can I come in for an interview? So what I did is I linked them up with someone in the office, and we just educate you. You don't have to take it. We offer you a position, and if you like how it works and you like what it entails, then it's all for it. Now, at the end of the day, you have to have a special blood and a pedigree. It's not for everybody because everyone would be doing it. But at the end of the day, I can tell you that it's very rewarding and it's been very successful, especially someone like myself coming from nothing to taking a bike to my clients. And now, you know, I'm on another level. But I've just been blessed. That's all I can say to everyone is just never give up being blessed and be persistent, be proactive and productive, man.
Well, I want to go ahead and just take this moment and thank you, man, for everything you're doing in the community, because I think that it's important that we acknowledge that we need leaders like yourself. We need mentors like you. Obviously, your mom did a great job, brother. You know, she raised you well. She taught you all those life skills at a young age. And sometimes it's hard for us as kids to accept why this happened to us, right? But I think it's important that those listening or viewing understand that sometimes going through those tough times prepares us, right, for when we're older. Wouldn't you say that, brother?
You know what's funny, John, is I ask myself the same question. You know, it's like, why? You know, why did she leave so quick, so soon, and so unannounced? Like, we didn't even know, or it was like just so sudden, right? But at the end of the day, I told my siblings, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I would be where I'm at today if my mom didn't pass. And as much as that hurts me to say that, it was like, you know what? That made me bury myself in the company and just didn't come up for air. And the only way I can explain that I would just dive in the ocean, guys, and didn't come up for air until I found a treasure. Yeah. And then when I found something, I would come up, and then I'd just take a little sip of, you know, breath, go back down. And my mom's tragedy, death, really made me who I am today and pushed me to become better, because I owe it all to her, and I wanted to make sure, because I made promises to her. I said, hey, you know, she, when I was a kid, she's like, mijo, never do drugs, you know, and to this day, I've never touched anything, you know, and I promised my mom. So I'm the type of person that the way she raised me is like, you know, like I said earlier, don't lie, cheat, or steal, and be the best man you can. So those were things that she had taught me, and I wouldn't be where I'm at today, man, if she hadn't passed. But listen, God does things in mysterious ways, and good things come out of it. So my job is to pass it on and encourage, and we've helped so many children who are in different environments and in different nonprofits. We've helped them with the backpacks, with the schooling, with shelter. I mean, we just go I probably shouldn't say this, but we go all balls out, man.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Well, listen, Moses, I want to thank you for taking the time to you know, be on our show. I know you got a busy schedule. You know, again, you know, we're looking forward to seeing you, of course, at our Estrella Awards Gala, and everybody meeting you there also that hasn't met you yet. For anybody viewing or listening to us, of course, leave a message, send us a DM. If you want to get connected to his team, if you want to learn more about his business, or if you're looking for a job opportunity and you feel you have that right grit, right, that hard work, you know, I know there's a lot of young people out there looking for these opportunities, and I just want to say congratulations, man, and you know, we appreciate all you're doing, and wish you all the best with the book.
No, thank you very much, John. If anyone would like to get a hold of me, they can definitely reach out to my media team, and they on IG, it's Moses Heredia, that's MOSESHEREDIA _, and or on my website, which is www.mosesheredia.com. Thank you for having me, man. It's been a pleasure, man.
Thank you, Moses, and thank you to the team, man, for being here. I really appreciate everybody coming out. And, well, folks, there you have it. Thank you for viewing and listening, of course, to another one of our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, where our community is your community. Take it away, Mr. Paul Roberts.
Wow. Well, there's an inspirational story. One of many that we bring each and every week right here as we talk to our community, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Field Applied Innovation Center.